Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. So today's topic is about nutrition, and we're going to be discussing protein digestion and type selection. So this was requested by a listener, and I'm going to read through kind of like what their questions were, what their concerns were, and then you guys are going to need to strap in, because this is going to be pretty detailed and pretty quick. And the reason why is because I want to give a good, thorough answer, and to get this one done in 20 to 30 minutes is going to take me talking pretty fast. So if you get confused along the way, just hit like the repeat button, see if you can flash back the previous 30 seconds and listen to it again. You can maybe take some notes. I actually wrote my notes for this one in a little bit more of a longhand form. So if you would like the notes for this, I can send that to you through email. Just shoot me an email requesting them at brutalirongym@gmail.com. Okay, so here we go. So the question was, how much protein can the body process from one meal? We're going to get into that. The other question was, kind of like their interpretation of this, was say the body can handle 30 grams at one time. Would it be best to try to get 10 grams of whey protein, 10 grams of casein protein, and then another 10 grams in whole food protein source? So that way the body would actually have a blend of all of those to break down. So their thinking behind this, and actually wrote this out, was their thinking is that the whey is fast-acting, casein is slow-acting, but still already in a digestible form, and then that food is even slower than casein. So they're going to get kind of the fast, the medium, and the slow. So that way you would have a quote-unquote slow, steady supply of protein in their bloodstream until the next meal. They wanted to know if that was correct. Okay, so give this some background here. And the person said, in the past, I have just wanted to always make sure I ate enough protein, but that led to me being strong, but way too fat. So they were ending up overeating their carbs and fats for trying to get all the protein they need. So listening to podcast number 109 would be a good one to explain why that happened to this person. And 109 is titled Nutrition for Peak Body Composition. And in that, we, in a sense, it sums down to matching your caloric intake to your activity levels. And in a sense to where at the meals that they were seeking their protein, immediately after workout, they may have had the right amount of calories because they were eating kind of big meals to get enough protein in. But then at the meals likely away from their workout, in order to get like 40 or 50 grams of protein, they were probably overeating the carbs and fats that would have come with that protein. And this is common for men who tend to eat a lot of meat because they'll eat like steak and they're like, oh, you know, it got me 40 grams of protein. Yeah, but it got you 40 grams of fat. So you got to be really careful on if you eat fatty type of meats. You are probably better off with lean meats away from your workout. And there is a whole bunch of caveats out the wazoo and everything I'm saying here, because if you eat fatty meats but you control the caloric intake, then that might be okay. But if that limits how much protein you can do, maybe you have to do a mixed meat meal where you have a little bit of red meat, a little bit of chicken, stuff like that. But the idea is they probably overeat their carbs and fats while trying to get their protein. So listening to podcast 109 explains why that happens in the sense of why does that make the person fat. Then they said, I recently did a dumb thing and started the keto diet. It worked for weight loss, but the weight I lost was mostly muscle. And yes, I'm not a big fan of the ketogenic diet. We've done a podcast in the past, number 129, Starvation Diets, Intermittent Fasting, and Keto. And what it does, it talks about why ketogenic diets seemingly work right away. You drop a lot of weight on the scale. It looks like it's the most miracle, amazing diet on the planet Earth, and everybody touts how amazing it is until about a month or two later, they feel like shit, they're weak as a kitten, and nothing is going well. So that happens every damn time, but people still try that diet. There's nothing wrong with the ketogenic diet. It's just that when most people do it, they hear ketogenic meaning ketones, so I'm going to eat fats and protein. So they eliminate all carbohydrates. You're eliminating a whole one-third of your foods. They overeat fats, and they can't eat enough like overall calories to usually gain weight, so that's why they lose a little bit of weight. Plus, carbohydrates hold water in our muscles, so when they stop eating carbohydrates, they're going to have water weight loss. That's going to help them lose weight on a scale. But all of a sudden, you don't have carbohydrates in your muscles are going to be weak as hell. So you don't have that glucose source right in the muscle belly. Your body has to break down ketones and dietary fats and body fat for all of your energy, and that is not good for explosive style athletes, which is what this person is. So I actually know who this person is, by the way. So they have more of a explosive style training, and that is not going to work well when you're trying to break down ketones and fats to be explosive. That is not like how the body works. So they were kind of shooting themselves in the foot, to where the ketogenic diet, it helped to drop the number they saw on the scale. That's what the ketogenic diet was good for. But it didn't match their training style, and it didn't match their overall body size and type. So they're a big dude. So this guy's a big dude. So he's going to need he has a ton of muscle. So he's going to need carbohydrates and some other types of fuels. His body can't really process as much freaking fat as he would have needed to eat throughout the day. And yes, can't process it, yes. So I'm kind of generalizing that statement. Sorry about that. So it can process whatever fats he puts in his body. It will eventually break it down. But that's not the optimal way for the body to do it. It would not have felt good doing that. It would have been grumpy the whole time. So you're, in a sense, giving the body work that doesn't match its abilities and desire. So that would have been kind of a bummer experience for him. So he continues on saying, "Now my hard-earned strength is way down, and it's making it hard to stay motivated." Absolutely true. He asked, "Can you help me set up a personalized meal plan with actual meals, not just a list of approved foods? I would like to lean out a little and still take in enough calories to gain muscle and strength. I was listening to a podcast you and Nate were saying some people do well inside a box in regards to training or nutrition, and some people need a little more freedom." He needs the box, is what he said. He says, "I want the box. Just tell me what I should eat. I lack nutrition knowledge, but the willingness and the desire are definitely not the issue." So that's true. This person is super dedicated to the gym. They do everything they should. It's just they made a mistake in following the wrong diet program for what their body type and goals are. So now they're kind of, you know, demotivated, lost some strength, and kind of bummed and, you know, wanting some help. So what we're going to do in this podcast is we're going to answer the two questions about protein. How much protein can the body process at one meal? And then what's the best composition per meal in terms of what types of proteins you should have? And then we'll talk a little bit afterwards about the idea of dieting from a box, where you have very specifics, you're just told what to eat, versus kind of general, kind of having that freedom. So if I'm talking fast, I warned you. So just hit pause and take notes, or rewind some if you need. So protein per meal. In podcast number 33, we discuss, it's titled, "How Much Protein Do I Need?" So in podcast 33, we discussed how much protein do you need. And we talked about in a daily basis. And then we also had a podcast, I forget the exact number. I think it was one of the more recent ones. It might be like podcast number 199 or something like that, where it talks about how to structure a single meal. And a single meal protein amount would be dependent on your overall protein intake. So you'd listen to podcast number 33, and that will give you the bigger picture overall. So the body will eventually process whatever the hell you put into it. So whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, but no matter what amount of protein you eat, your body will process it. If it didn't, our food would come back out in solid chunks, like in the form of food that we ate it in. So does that make sense? So our body does process it. It just sometimes takes forever. So, and then also, if you didn't need that much protein during the time in which the body is processing, a lot of it comes right back out. So protein is a nutrient that we use a lot of in the body. So it fixes and repairs our muscles. It deals with like pH in the bloodstream, deals with body temperature, grows your hair, your skin, your nails. It does a whole bunch of stuff. It helps process enzymes. There's a whole bunch of work that our body uses protein for. However, there is still like a limit of how much it needs at one time. So if you dump a whole bunch of protein in, your body will eventually process it. Now, I know more so what this person means is, what is the usable amount of protein? And that one is an enormously hard to answer thing, because there isn't a finite number. So it absolutely is dependent on the individual, and it's dependent on the individual at every moment of the day. So if you take the same freaking person, it still changes per meal on how much protein is optimal per meal. So I can't answer that for you. Bummer. Sorry about that. And the reason why is because I'd have to know this your individual specific details. So I can answer that for a person, sure, but I can't answer that for everybody listening to this podcast. So the exact amount of protein that you need per meal, again, it depends on kind of the amount of muscle damage and system damage that you have at that moment. So if you just got done running like some kind of like huge insane obstacle course race that was like 13 miles and like 4 million obstacles, your body is absolutely beat to shit, you're going to process a lot of protein. If you just sat around on the couch watching a movie marathon, your body does not need a lot of protein, and it's not going to process a lot of it in the sense of like usable amount of processing. So also our current activity. If I'm super busy right now, that can sometimes increase or decrease the amount of protein that we would need at the time. The amount of muscle the person has, the more muscle you have, the more protein you need. And then generally, there's kind of like a whole bunch of variety. So that's why I can't answer it in an individual podcast. But the best answer I can give you that is actually very helpful is go listen to podcast number 33, figure out how much protein you should need in a day. In general, for most people, if you're active lifting weights, you're going to need 0.8 to 1 gram per pound of body weight. So if you weigh 200 pounds, you're going to need 160 to 200 grams of protein a day. You can do the math if you weigh a different amount. But it's 0.8 to 1 gram per pound a day. You're going to divide that by the amount of meals that you eat per day and roughly have that pretty even. There's a whole bunch of nitty-gritty details on why there might be some variables to that. But for most people, if you find out I need to eat 160 grams of protein a day, you're going to have four meals. If you have 40 grams per meal, you're doing an amazing job. So for most people, you will not even follow that correctly. So for way too many people, they get so consumed with understanding the details, but they don't actually pay attention to what the hell they're actually doing. It's like people want to have a PhD in nutrition understanding, but they have a freaking rudimentary, you know, kindergarten level of actually application. So if you have a kindergarten level of application, you do not need a PhD in knowledge, okay? So if anything, you should be applicating as much knowledge as you have. So if you're asking me about all these, this is not about the listener, by the way, so don't get mad at me if you're the listener here, the person who asked the questions. I'm talking in general now. But if the person in general, whoever you are, if you're seeking out all these nitty-gritty details, and meanwhile you're eating a freaking fast food all the time, you're skipping meals, doing this, doing that, you know, drinking beer on the weekends, what the hell is wrong with you? Why are you wasting your time learning a bunch of shit that you're not actually using? So it's more important that we actually learn amount and then do that exact amount of knowledge. If you have more knowledge than what you're doing, that's a little bit of a waste. Okay, and pursuing more knowledge doesn't help a damn thing. It's what you actually apply in your life. It's what you actually do that makes a difference. Not what you know, but don't do. Okay? So this is something that I had to learn as an adult and accept as truth, is it is sometimes super duper fun to look at all the research in the world and get all these wonderful understandings of all the wonderful nuances of training and nutrition and whatever your passion might be. Maybe it's photography or working on cars. But you have all this knowledge, all these amazing research, but you're not doing half the shit. Like, if you look at your actual hot habits, you only go to the gym 3 or 4 times a week. Half the time you're bullshitting with friends, not even working out that hard. Maybe your nutrition, oh yeah, you know, I'm going to have the perfect, you know, post-workout shake. But then you go home and you eat a pizza. What the hell is the point of the post-workout shake? So I have had people ask me about what type of fats and what grams of fats they should have in their post-workout shake. And then they do literally go home and eat a pizza. And it's like, what the hell are you doing? So as we go through all these details, I want you to understand that knowing these details versus doing these details is an enormous difference. You do not get points, you do not get results based on what you know. You get results based on what you do. Okay? So as you listen to everything I'm about to go through, because it's about to get really detailed, none of this matters if you don't do it. And if you don't do all the other stuff around it. Okay? So if you skip breakfast, eat fast food for lunch, then you show up at your workout and you try to have the perfect workout shake, then you have the perfect dinner, what the hell? You just skip breakfast and you eat some garbage at lunch. That's not going to help, okay? So you want to look at the big picture things, get the big picture things right, then worry about the small details. Do not get into the small details until the big things are right. Okay, so enough of me ranting on that. Now that everybody's kind of mad and probably grumpy at me. So, the best composition for digestion. Here we go. So, all proteins begin breaking down at the same time. So, whether I eat whey protein versus casein protein, whey, for those who don't know, is a very fast digesting protein. Casein is kind of a, like, whey and casein are both are powders. So you can go to a supplement store and get a whey protein powder, which is like a broken down form of like food proteins into whey protein, which is W-H-E-Y. And that is whey protein is very fast digesting. It takes about roughly 20 to 40 minutes. There's a whole bunch of caveats to this. But roughly it's like 20, 40 minutes worth of it gets in your bloodstream. Your body gets a blast of all of it, digests it, and uses it all within like 20 to 40 minutes. Casein protein, which is C-A-S, I think E-I-N, that is a powder as well, but it's a slower digesting form of protein. So it might take 2 to 3 hours. It starts digesting pretty much when you take it in, but that burst is drawn out. So the digestion rate is drawn out over 2 to 3 hours. So rather than you getting all of the protein in 20 to 40 minutes and then having none left, casein, it takes 2 to 3 hours to get your protein and then having none left. So that's something I want to kind of get across now is it's important for us to think of, we often talk about digestion lengths, something lasting 20 to 40 minutes or 2 to 3 hours or something, you know, if I eat a big, you know, fatty steak, it might take 24 hours to process, something like that. That's true that those lengths are different, but while they're being processed, there is protein in your system. So your body is breaking down that protein, putting it into the bloodstream, and using it. So it's not like if I eat whey, I have protein now for 20 to 40 minutes. And casein, I don't have any protein now, but I only get it all at 2 to 3 hours. No, you're getting it now. It just takes 2 to 3 hours to get it. So that's important for us to understand is no matter what protein type I eat, I'm going to start getting protein now. It just depends on how long I want to draw out that process of digestion. So that's kind of going to determine which type of protein I need. So, for example, if I'm post-workout, my muscles are all torn up, and I want to say, hey, man, muscles, I'm going to help you out. I want to give you all the protein you can use right now. And then I eat the slowest form of protein digestion, not the greatest idea. Because when my body needed the protein most, it was getting like a drop out of a faucet. Amount of protein. So instead of getting, you know, a big dump of protein right now when it needs it, it's getting like drip, 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 and the body would be like, come on, give me more, give me more, give me more. Whereas, if we're away from our workouts, say like I work out in the evening and I'm looking for a 10 o'clock in the morning kind of mid-morning snack, and I take a whey protein shake, which is the fast digesting shake, my body absolutely did not need a dump of protein right in the middle of the morning when I have no muscle damage around. So it's going to get like a influx, so it's going to be like you pour on the faucet whenever you were just trying to get a drop. So you pour on the faucet, all this protein dumps in, and your body goes, what the hell? I don't need any of this. So it takes, you know, a few grams that it needs, and then just processes the rest and gets it out of your system. And then all of a sudden, in 20 to 40 minutes when it's out of your system, you have maybe another 2 hours till you're going to eat, and your body eventually is going to go, dude, what the hell? Like, I have no food now. Like, why did you give me all that, and then now it's all gone, and now I have to wait for 2 or 3 hours? So you get hunger, you get, like, cravings, you get low energy. So that's what happens when you don't match your digestion rates to the meal timing that you have throughout the day, is you get bigger fluctuations in energy, cravings, mood swings, stuff like that. So, again, real quick, whey protein powders starts now, digests quickly, roughly in about 20 to 40 minutes. Casein protein starts now, digests slowly over about 2 to 3 hours. So, what if we mix our protein with carbs and or fats? What effect does that have? So if we put whey protein with sugar-based carbs, that's still super fast. It's going to get in your system in about 20, 40 minutes. The sugars are purportedly, I don't know what the word would be there, so I might have used the wrong word. Sugars, reportedly and scientifically and data and da-da-da-da-da, should help shuttle the protein into your bloodstream faster. So sugars are sometimes used to speed up the digestion of even whey protein, which is already really fast. Okay, but what if you put whey protein with complex carbs? So slower digesting carbs. Well, those slower digesting carbs will slow down the digestion of protein. So when you eat food, you mix them, like kind of the foods together, it kind of muddles up the digestion rates. Okay, so if I put something slow with something fast, they're still going to be relatively slow. So usually the slowest thing kind of trumps a little bit. So the fast thing can't really speed up the slow thing. The slow thing just slows down the fast thing, if that makes sense. So whey protein plus complex carbs, you still get, you know, protein kind of starting now, but it draws out that process. So that might be something, instead of 20 to 40 minutes, it might take 1 to 2 hours. So it'll just draw it out a little bit. Now, this does depend on the type of carbs that you have and the amount of carbs. So there's a lot of complexities to what I'm saying, but I like the general idea to get across for you guys. So whey protein and sugar is fast. It's now 20 to 40 minutes. Whey protein plus complex carbohydrates is a little bit slower, about 1 to 2 hours. Then if you take casein, which is a slower whey, you mix that with sugar. So again, you're doing a slow plus a fast. The sugars really don't push the protein through any faster. Like we said, the fast things can't make the slow things faster. The slow things make the fast things slower. I'm gonna probably confuse everybody saying that. So casein and sugar, it still takes the 2 to 3 hours that casein normally takes. So the sugar is not really a good idea to use when you're having casein. It's just kind of wasting calories. Now, casein with complex carbs, that still is going to be about the same because they're about the same digestion rate of about 2 to 3 hours, depending on the carbs that you have. So casein plus carbs doesn't change much about the rate of casein digestion. It just adds more calories to your meal. So that's actually the type of, if you're going to use a protein powder, that's the type you would want to use for meal replacements when you're away from your workouts, is casein protein. If you're looking for right after your workout, casein is not good because it's too slow. So you want to use whey protein. Now, do you have to use proteins at all? No. So we'll get into that a little bit more in a second here, but you don't have to, but it is helpful for certain people and certain goals. Now, what if you mix fats with your protein? So we just talked about mixing fast or slow carbs, but what if you mix fats? It slows everything down. So fats are very slow digesting. They will slow the protein down. So even if I put a fast digesting whey protein with fats, it will slow down the whey protein and complicate that digestion and make it last kind of more drawn out. So let's say in the middle of the day, you have a snack that you're like, dang, I'm supposed to have casein protein, but all I have right now is whey. Well, then just mix the whey protein with a fat item and that'll slow it down anyhow. So there's a lot of caveats here. So do you need to own a casein plus a whey protein? Not necessarily. You can just mix your whey protein with fat intake, and that'll slow it down to similar to what a casein would do. There's a whole bunch of nuances here, but again, this is why I prefaced all this with don't get lost in the small details if you're not doing the big things right. Okay? So if right now you're just struggling to get your mid-afternoon or like kind of small in-between meals in, just eating anything is better than nothing. It doesn't even matter if it's the right protein or the wrong protein. Something is better than nothing. Okay, so don't get too lost in what to do. Make sure you're just doing something first and then refine what you're doing. Okay, so in general, based on your goals, if you have the goal of stripping muscle tissue down, I actually work with people who have this goal. So most commonly, it's females after collegiate sports that I've worked with where they might have had to have thick thighs or more muscle to their body for their college sport than what they really wanted. Now that they're out of college, they want to kind of strip some of that muscle off. So post-workout, we actually don't consume any protein, like whey, casein, nothing. We have them work out, we wait. And if they work out in the middle of the day, we wait 2 to 3 hours before we have a whole food meal. If they work out late at night, sometimes we just go to bed and we let the body kind of rip down the protein. So that is showing you that if you don't eat correctly, like if you work out and you're like, oh, I'm working out, I'm going to get big and strong, but you don't eat right, you can actually lose muscle tissue from working out. So remember, working out actually damages muscle tissue. It doesn't like build it. It sets you up for it to be built, but it doesn't actually build it in the process itself. So if you work out really hard, go home and eat minimal amounts or nothing, and go to bed, you're actually losing muscle tissue, okay? So if your goal is to build muscle but stay lean, then you want to have whey protein Immediately after workout, you don't need the sugars with it, just the whey protein. Then about an hour later, you'll have whole food meal, where you're going to have like some type of protein food item mixed with carbs or fats, depending on what your diet entails. If your goal is to gain weight, so you are underweight, you want to gain weight, you want to build muscle and strength, but you also just want to add weight to you, then you want to have the whey protein plus sugars after your workout, then the whole food meal an hour later. Okay, so again, is post-workout protein necessary? Not really. It depends. It depends on what you eat before you work out. It depends on if you have an intra-workout meal. So I actually don't use whey protein powders. I just drink whole milk while I'm working out. And I'll drink some more whole milk after my workout. So I just use whole milk because I like it. It has extra calories in it that I need for my body size. And it's kind of cheaper than buying whey protein. So there are ways around having to do the supplement if you don't want to do the supplement. Okay? So that was a lot of information. Hopefully I didn't lose you guys. Like I said, you can kind of rewind that and go back through it. But that should tell you your information. So again, the base question was how much protein can the body process from one meal? It'll process anything you eat. But the usable amount would be your recommended daily intake divided by how many meals you're supposed to have per day. Have that much per meal. Now, what's the best composition for digestion? We just went through all that, but it kind of depends on what you need at the moment. So if you have a lot of muscle damage and you want the food, the protein in there now, you want to have whey protein. If you have a decent muscle damage, but you're kind of eating away from your workout time, then supplementing your diet with casein protein can help you get more protein in, but a slower digesting, which better matches the time away from workouts. If you don't have a high degree of need for protein powder, protein volume, so maybe you only need 120 to 140 grams of protein a day, you could probably get that through Whole Foods. So it depends on if your goal is, like, say, some people might be trying to get 250 to 300 grams of protein in. That's really freaking hard to do with Whole Foods. So they might supplement their diet with powders. Whereas if you have a lower goal of protein intake, say 120, 140, even 160, you can probably get that through Whole Foods. You probably don't even need the powders. So there is some helpful stuff. That's a lot of stuff, I know, but hopefully it's helpful. And you can, again, you can replay through that if you'd like. And shoot me an email, brutalirongym@gmail.com, and I'll send you the write-up of all this. So now let's go back real quick, touch on that meal plan thing. So having meal plans that give you just tell me what to eat meal plans, specific foods, I don't want options, just tell me what to eat. That is good for short-term goals. So if you have a competition, aesthetic or strength or whatever, and you want to eat a certain way for, say, you know, 4, 8, 12, 16 weeks before the competition, that's great to make sure you maximize your performance and your body compositional changes going into the event. So sometimes having very strict meals is absolutely appropriate for the time you're in. However, it's not appropriate for a lifestyle. Because life gets in the way. You will not be able to have the food that you want every freaking meal of your entire life. So you're going to need to understand categories of foods. You're going to need to understand kind of these different digestion rates and kind of how to put together a single meal. So we have had a podcast about like putting together a single meal, like we said. That was podcast number, crap, I just forgot it. So let me look that up while I'm talking to you guys. So, but we do have the knowledge on how to put together a single meal, and that's podcast 195. So podcast number 195, learning what to eat per meal. So that will help you understand better about how to have variance in your foods, depending on what life throws at you, but still stay on track with your goal. Okay. So hopefully this was helpful. So especially hopefully helpful to the listener who requested it. So if I know one person's at least listening, hopefully it actually helped that one person. Okay, good luck to all of you. So you can see sometimes this stuff doesn't get nitty gritty. I don't usually spend a lot of time on these detailed things, although I'm very happy too. So if you ever want, just ask me a question and I'll give you the podcast on it. But like I said, most often people aren't even doing the base stuff correct. So they don't need to know all these nitty gritty details because they're not even getting the big picture things right. So get the big picture things right before you worry about the small things. And if you want any questions about the small things, please let me know. Okay? Email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. You can just send us the question and I'll make a podcast like today. Whew. Okay. So if you like this information, you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, Brutal Iron Gym. Also, if you like the podcast, please share it with family and friends. So the more people we help, the happier the world will be. If you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we would love, 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 love to hear from you. So this podcast is for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about. And again, you can reach us at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.